Gavrilek, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
My name's Lauren Wood. I'm joined, as I am every week, by Scott Gullen, Michael Warner, and John Anderson. And Ando, there's no room for bias here, of course, but is there one you're looking forward to in particular?
All of them, Loz. I hope St Kilda beats the Bulldogs because I want St Kilda.
Hang on.
They've won one premiership in their life. You were sated 4 years ago when you won the shock grand final, which was magnificent. Now it's their turn. And I'd love to see the Saints make a real run of it. The other games, well, see how even it is. Geelong has put up a $1.80 favourite against Port Adelaide at $2 last week. That's been reversed now. So Port have been back, as they should be. They're playing at Port, and Geelong's a side coming into it with a pretty suspect finals record in the last 4 years. So, but all four games hold great interest for me. I'm sure you feel the same way, Scotty, and if you don't agree with my sentiments about the Bulldogs-Saints game.
I'm shocked, Ando. It'll be a very interesting Saturday evening.
Yes, we're all over the place this weekend. It kicks off, of course, Thursday night with that game Ando was just talking about, Port Adelaide hosting Geelong. But, Mick, it's the bye that seems to have everyone in a tiz. It's normally a weekend that you'd probably spend on the golf course if you could. But given where we're down here, you would have had a weekend at home. Did that sort of change your opinion about the bye?
Well, look, I liked it because it gave me an opportunity to cash in my $400,000 cash bonus, which I was lucky enough to get paid. But, I mean, I don't like things changing, as you know. I'm a bit of a stickler, a bit of a traditionalist.
A bit.
And maybe, well, you know. But this season, I think in particular, when you had those ridiculous, what do they call them, frenzies or whatever, you probably needed a week off to get ready for the finals. I'm not sure how I feel about it going forward, but this year I'm not going to die in a ditch over it.
Yeah, I think we all could have done with the rest, players and spectators alike, and it just whets the appetite a little bit more even for this weekend. We'll get into the four games individually a little bit later on, but just keen to look at all eight teams as a whole. And we might kick it off with you, the pressure gauge. Always something we look at this time of year, but is there one particular team or coach or player who sticks out to you as being particularly under pressure heading into this weekend and the next month?
I think in terms of red hot pressure, Geelong. The facts are Geelong has been really disappointing in the past 4 years, particularly some of their starts, their first quarters. And I reckon I think he's under more pressure. Would you agree with that, Mick?
Yeah, I think also because of his unique go slow game plan that it really needs to work for him. Because they've got the cattle, and when they go fast, like they did in the game against Richmond, but if it doesn't work and they play that crab game, that will be fascinating to see how it unfolds.
But with that, in fairness to them, that crab game you're talking about, whenever the ball is across half backwards along, they'll play that game. They don't put the ball into the centre corridor too often, if at all. Probably Graham Myers is but the only player he'll take it on. So for them, it's all about getting the ball out of the centre. And if they're doing that, then the ball's going to be obviously moving quickly towards Hawkins and the crumbing forward. So that comes down to who's in the ruck. And Reece Stanley, when he's played this year, has been brilliant, like really, really good. And he hasn't always been that in the past. But he's the key player for mine, Reece Stanley.
I was just going to say chaos versus control, though, is what I'm sort of getting at.
Yep.
And chaos is winning premierships for recent times, not control.
Yep. Okay. No, I appreciate that. I don't like watching that footy either. About, but Geelong's contested ball figures have been pretty good and their centre clearance has been pretty good. So,
West Coast probably won a controlled premiership.
They did. Yeah, they did. Yep.
I think by extension there's pressure on Patrick Dangerfield, which sounds a bit silly, but I sense he's tried too hard, Ando, in previous years. Like he felt the pressure that I came here to win. I'm the man. I'm going to do it. This year, he's got a more rounded team approach. If he can harness that attitude and not get that urgency about I have to do it, I think it'll go a long way to helping Geelong.
Yeah, he's probably going to be playing like Dusty. He's going to be playing and maybe Botman-Purley. He's going to be playing forward more than he would have previously in finals, unless they go really badly and they've got to put him back on the ball. But that, you know, worked pretty well the last game they played against Sydney. He kicked three. But Paddy Dangerfield, look, he left Adelaide to go home and play in a premiership. Adelaide promptly the next year played in the grand final, didn't they, against the Tigers in 2017. And he hasn't got past the prelims. So, yeah, he's a really intriguing part of the puzzle, Patrick Dangerfield. And so,
what a career. And an eight-time All-Australian. Geez, that's a pretty – has anyone got more than that?
There has.
Gary?
With that, his eight All-Australians have come in the last 8 years. So in that last 8 years, and this is not including this year's because we don't know the Brownlow, he's polled 200 Brownlow votes at an average of 25 votes per year. He's won four Best and Fairest, finished second twice and third twice. I mean, it's a remarkable record of consistency over an eight. I mean, even Lee Matthews, and he's, you know, a lot of people say the best player ever. Lee in 8 years may not have had eight seasons successive as brilliant as Dangerfield's been. So, yeah, he deserves one, but they don't give them out that way, do they? You got to earn them. You know, the side's got to play well, and they're an intriguing side, Geelong. But so are Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide have finished on top, haven't got to respect their due. And Brisbane went straight out last year. They finished second. So those two sides have got pressure on them as well, really, just by where they sit on the ladder.
And Collingwood a bit. I mean, Collingwood, you know, they stuffed up last year, should have played in the premiership. Yes, they've had issues, but still, they've got a decent cattle. They just haven't clicked.
Side Bottom and Jeremy Howe, the two main. So they're massive, aren't they? When you think about winning the final, Scotty, there's X factor with both those two guys. I don't know what to make of Collingwood. I think the Eagles aren't going that well, but they are at home and they probably get Shuey McGovern loss. Is that what we're hearing?
That is what we're hearing for West Coast. They'll likely be back in. And Chris Mayne potentially back too for the Pies. I think Bucks was saying on Tuesday morning too. So not sure who you'd take out though for him. I mean, he's been such a great player for them this year that you'd squeeze him in somehow.
Yeah, they'll find someone. Don't worry. Chris Mayne has to play, doesn't he?
The hub situation is sort of... That's thrown up another kind of curveball for Collingwood today too. Nathan Buckley was speaking on SEN on Tuesday morning, Scotty, and there's been much made about their sort of shortened quarantine at the Joondalup Resort and, you know, what it means for West Coast now, who are potentially going to have to quarantine for another 2 weeks if they lose. But I think we've seen it all this season, and then we've got Camperman thrown into the mix. Yeah. What is going on?
Well, they're called Dirty Team Collingwood. They've been called that by the WA
The Dirty
government.
Club, yes.
The Dirty Club. So apparently there's six camper vans in the car park of Collingwood's resort, and there's a couple of staff members who the coach said have taken a hit. So they're sleeping out there. And
how big's a resort, Scotty, if they can only fit 50 people in it?
Well, that's it. Apparently the police said only one in each room. So it mustn't – I don't – spend time in these luxury resorts, Michael, like you. I'm more a tent man. No, I don't even do that. But so, I mean, the odds are against them. So if West Coast lose, they're not allowed to celebrate the season because they're not allowed to leave their home loss. Is that right?
Yeah, so it sounds like the West Australian Health Authorities, who have been so strict on quarantine, I mean, they've got players in their houses for 14 days quarantine, they're getting police checks, all that sort of stuff. So while you're allowed to quarantine at home, you're not allowed to go to the supermarket, you're not allowed to do anything. Wow. They're being pretty heavily checked. And because obviously those players will now come into contact with Collingwood, which I find astounding, who have been tested twice a week for the last however long, who are quarantined in their own resort themselves, that they're sort of tainted in the process. And even if West Coast go down, season over, it's boys, back home.
What about Collingwood? When you think of if they win the premiership this year, I know Chris Scott said whichever team wins it, it'll be a great win because of the unique season that we've endured. Collingwood will, if they beat the West Coast, they then potentially, if Port Adelaide lost to Geelong, they would go and play Port Adelaide in Adelaide. Then if they won that game, they would go back to Brisbane. So they would have gone from Brisbane to Perth to Adelaide back to Brisbane. Wow. I mean, Seriously, that would be just an extraordinary feat of endurance.
Dogs did that in 16, Ando. That's easy.
Dogs have done it.
If you've got the mental strength like Footscray. Well, we went Sydney, Perth, Sydney, Melbourne.
Yep.
I'm interested, though, in the Mad Monday, what you said. So could they do it over Zoom? I mean, you could eat goldfish and stuff like that over Zoom. Isn't that what they do, the Eagles?
We did discuss that here a few weeks ago, Mick, that the famed Score Christmas party is shaping up as being on Zoom at this point too. So it's, I'm sure they'll explore every avenue. Just another sort of strange thing that this season has thrown up, but I wouldn't put it past the Pies. We saw Mick Mouldhouse, I think it was, when he was at the helm, managed to get, was it a low altitude flight or something back from Perth at one point, Scotty? So if they're flying all around the countryside, I'm sure they'll be looking at all those avenues. Mick, let's go off the field for what was a mad Monday morning over in Adelaide, and of course Brad Crouch and Tyson Stengel. That news broke sort of mid-morning Monday that they'd both been caught in a cab, was it, about 5:15 in the morning, and not only does it have the sort of immediate ramifications of a drug diversion program, I believe, which is the flavour that the South Australian police like to go with, but gee, Brad Crouch, I saw Ralphie described it as setting a barrel of $100 notes on fire. He'd be waking up with a headache today.
Yeah, nothing good happens in a cab at 5:15 in the morning unless you're setting out on a holiday or something and you've just gotten out of bed. But Nick Riewoldt said not long ago that drugs were rife amongst the players once their seasons pack up, and just a little bit more evidence to say that Nick was close to the mark.
Well, skin folds, we know all the reason why they, it's just most of society does it. They get caught in it. But Brad Crouch, I mean, people knew, I'm not saying, they knew he wasn't a choir boy, not that they'd be accepting this, but if you get Brad Crouch, you knew a little bit of what you were getting. People will still go for him. You watch.
It won't make a lick of difference, I don't reckon.
No, I agree.
Really?
No. They'll put it, he's reformed. He'll do one interview at his new club and go, oh, yeah, mistake. Yeah. Now I'm a new man, and away they go.
Well, isn't it probably in some ways it's a positive for the player because he's going to be
literally.
Well, it is. Yeah, he's publicly embarrassed, humiliated with his, in front of his family as well. So you'd think that is probably the jolt that he needs to say, mate, you're 26-year-old, pull your finger out. You're probably going to get a new chance somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And wherever he goes, he's going to have the right act read to him by his new club, whether it be Port Adelaide or Adelaide. He might even stay. Adelaide. He stays at or Geelong. Yeah. So I'm with you, boys. I don't think it makes a lick of difference, as you just said, Mick.
Don't mind the suggestion, Mick, that clubs that are pursuing players, because obviously these two, given the fact that they were allegedly caught with drugs on them, I think it's safe to assume that they will get a strike under the illicit drugs policy that the AFL has in place. I didn't mind the call that clubs should be able to find out if players have strikes against them. Of course, the argument is that the program is sort of all about well-being and players should get privacy and all that sort of stuff, but shouldn't clubs know what they're taking on?
So you called it a policy. I think the word you're looking for is farce. No one takes that drugs policy seriously, and they never
will.
Have
we seen it? Have we seen it yet?
Who was the most recent one who said he'd never been tested? Brock McLean did a big interview
with SAC guys.
Let's not waste any oxygen on the illicit drugs policy. That is a protection policy. Protection policy.
There you have it, Mick's final word. It's not not a week goes by on the Herald Sun Footy podcast without Mick giving a definitive call on something, and obviously the drugs policy is it this week. Before we get into this weekend's games, guys, just a quick sort of wrap around the trade talk situation. Obviously, Zach Williams, he nominated Carlton since we last caught up. We've got Ben Brown, Braden Pruce, Jeremy Cameron still yet to sign too. Ando, is there one in particular that's piquing your interest as the trade talk hots up?
Oh, if I was a Carlton supporter, I'd be wrapped in Williams as long as they get him at the right price. I worry about sides that, I hear that Jack Martin, who is a good footballer, a very good footballer, but paid big, big money. I know that's front end, front loaded, but the Jeremy McGovern, Mitch McGovern, sorry, contract, you know, you hear around 700,000. That's obscene for a bloke who gets, that's 100,000 per kick or per possession, the way he flies. Seriously. Yeah. So they've got to be careful when they structure those things, because you can just get other players' noses out of joint and players who deserve, like Jacob Wietering or Patrick Cripps.
Well, what if you're Patrick Cripps' manager and they probably try and trot out 900 or something to him? And you go, hang on, you're playing this halfback flanker bloke, 100 grand less than me. Come on. I mean, you'd be.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think Williams will probably, I think they'd look at him potentially as a midfielder as well. They get Nick Newman back, Scotty. Yeah. I know Kate Simpson goes out, Newman comes back in. They need a running defender who can use it and run with it.
He wants to play midfield. Cross. That's what he's told him.
Okay. Well,
so did Jeremy Howe. I remember Jeremy Howe. I don't want to play defence. And now he's become the best defender of all time.
Yeah, fair call. But I think he's a really good pickup, Loz. Of the ones you mentioned, Braden Pruce would give you he gives you an effort, but you know, not
totally why he went to Melbourne in the first place is extraordinary.
Exactly. Yeah. What was he thinking?
Who advised him that?
He's going to be a key forward as well as like playing in the ruck. I mean, no, Braden, you don't move quickly enough to be a key forward. So.
He went from behind Goldie to behind Gawn, didn't he?
Yeah.
But I reckon Danaher goes to Brisbane, Jeremy Cameron stays, and I can't believe I've just read on AFL.com that Bashir Hooley is being pursued by Essendon. Should Essendon just change the colour of the red sash and get it over with?
Yeah, that's surprising, isn't it? That's really interesting.
Why would they go for Bashir Hooley?
Yeah, you've missed his best years. That's a bit odd.
About 10 of them.
And now you're going to pay him overs for his last couple of years.
A few more run up the flagpole, Mick, in the last couple of days by AFL HQ about what 2021's going to look like. The number 18, sort of, it's a recurring number for them, isn't it? We had your favourite goal square set up last year, and now it's looking like 18-minute quarters has been run up the pole for next year.
Yeah, the carrier pigeons that work for the AFL and the media have been absolutely doing overtime in the last couple of weeks. And I haven't met a person whose opinion I respect who has made a case for 16 or 18-minute quarters to become a permanent feature of the game. It is a diabolical suggestion that will just enhance or speeden up their efforts to destroy our great game of Australian rules.
So shortened quarters were brought in because we're going to play a game every night. We all understand that. We go back to normal, where games are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Why do you need shortened quarters? The recovery was the whole spin we got for this season. We got that. Yeah, I don't understand.
Everyone I speak to at Fox Footy, for example, say they don't want 18-minute quarters. No, they want 20-minute quarters. Stuff, they want the show to finish at 9:30, 10 o'clock and have Wreck-It Ralph and all that stuff. So I think you're right, Lauren. They're running it up the flagpole. They get their little carrier pigeons and it's just a waste of time talking about it. I'm sorry, but I just can't stand that debate.
Just bizarro. I couldn't agree with you more, Mick. Every time you think, oh, my team might be in this, oh, wait, there's only 1 minute to go. It's absolutely, I can't wait. Like many things in 2020, I can't wait to see the back of it. But just a quick whip around too. Mentioned last week we'd look at a few of the ousted teams over the next few weeks. Thought we might just take a quick look at Frio, the Bombers and Gold Coast. Ando, it's sort of tough to analyse really, Essendon. I mean, they sort of had their good, you know, Andy McGrath was really good as a midfielder. Jordan Ridley, of course, took out the best and fairest last week. They were okay sort of around the stoppage, but, geez, they just weren't damaging, were they, in the end, and that's really what let the Bombers down.
Yeah, we're going to get a new coach. We get our first look at them purely under Ben Rutten. So I'm interested to see what he brings to the table because I haven't been sure what Essendon's game style has been at different times. And I guess that is largely dependent on whether Joe Danaher is playing or not. And Mick seems to think there's a lot to do that he won't be at Tullamarine next year. And that's massive for them. I really can't see Essendon being a, a force in 2021. As much as I like some parts, or like Draper, they've got something. But of those three clubs you mentioned, Gold Coast, Freo, and Essendon, in terms of progress next year, I'd have them at the bottom of those three clubs.
Paul Brasher, who took over as the president, we mentioned him a few weeks ago. He took over on Friday, and did you see his video where he basically said, "Now I liked it, Scotty, because he said something that
he's a young gentleman, Paul."
Well, he's not, but he's a quality person, which is handy. And he said that he felt that they'd been a bit soft. I'm sort of decoding it a bit soft in their list management because of almost having some guilt around some of the guys involved in the drug saga.
Okay. And
I reckon that's been a bit of a problem for them, that they need to cut the cord a bit and move on. There are still the ghosts of that saga, and I reckon Brash is the guy who's going to shake up Essendon.
Yeah, no, they're in trouble next year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Justin Longmire, Scotty, they didn't win a lot of footy, but he impressed everybody, didn't he, Longmire?
Yeah.
And Jerry Jube, despite being caught short on that famous video now, I think, you know, he's been impressive too. And they were without their best midfielder for 12 of their, effectively 13, because he went off early against Geelong, Matt Rowell. So they've got so much upside, the Gold Coast. But so are Freo. Those two sides are...
Well, Freo had no key defenders. All their three key defenders didn't play all year. So with Fife, and he's just got a system. No, they're impressive. I like
them. They're great. Great kids. I'm not convinced. You had me there for a while on Gold Coast, Ando, but I can the smell that's coming out at the moment. There, obviously, a lot of
burner accounts everywhere, Mike.
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure that it's as rosy as you think.
Then the other side, Mick, with that is they're always going to fade towards the end of the season because they're young bodies, and so. I didn't expect them to finish that hard, I've got to be honest. And they were pretty poor in their last game against Hawthorn. Hawthorn are probably riding a fair bit of emotion with two blokes retiring in that match. But I still think there's enough to work with there. But I don't know the inner workings of the club.
There's plenty to work with.
Yeah, there's plenty to work with. I think, they've made some ground. They had a lot of ground to make up, though, let's be honest.
We spoke a bit about the first qualifying final. Of course, kicks things off on Thursday night at Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide and Geelong. Ando, Jack Stephen, would you be choosing him?
No, I don't think I would, Loz. I think Geelong's best footy this year has been played when they had that frenetic pressure in the forward line, courtesy of Dalhouse, Atkins, Myers, Close. Now, in the game against Sydney, and the two of those guys didn't play, as in Atkins and Close, I would expect at least one of them to come back. Myers has been a really good player this year. He had his worst game of the year against Sydney. His decision-making was poor. He looked jaded. Hopefully he's been able to freshen up. Because I really like Brad Close as a player. I think he's an absolute ripper, Close. He's got the speed. He's got really good hands. He's a senior player because he played that level in the Sandford before he came into Geelong. And Tom Hatkins, I think, gets back in. I think Jack Stephen's going to be unlucky because I don't really think Jack Stephen has adapted to the way Geelong plays football. At St Kilda, I loved him as a player. I mean, as an opposition player, supporter, you watch players from other sides, and he was one that he was really exciting, and you would have liked him as a St Kilda person just when he ran and carried the ball. But he hasn't been that type of player. He just hasn't seemed to have got a clear run at it with injury and form. And I think, sadly for Jack, he's the one who will miss that. In fact, I'd be surprised if he plays, I've got to say. And I think Atkins comes back in, and it's all about pressure. The ball was coming out very easily against Sydney, and they've got to keep that in the side, and they know that. And with Gary Ablett coming back, and as great as Gary is, that's not his go. He's there for the icing on the cake. So, and you bring Joel Selwood in the same. So you've got to have the blue collar workers in that sort of Atkins Close type player. And so, I don't think Jack makes it.
It'll be a pillar at each end too, won't it, Scotty? Of course, Charlie Dixon at one end. He's got 32 goals to his name so far, and Tom Hawkins at the other, who absolutely toweled up Tom Cleary last time they met, didn't he? I think it was 6-2 before they moved Tom Jonas onto him. Could we see a shootout?
Well, I mean, Port Adelaide likes to run and gun, and Geelong, like, when that win last time, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, when they beat St Kilda and Port inside a week, they were at the absolute peak of their powers. And while Port is obviously saying, oh, we've got a few changes and, yeah, we've looked at that, that's a lot of confidence for Geelong. They know how to play and isolate this forward, this defence, which is, you know, Trent McKenzie's playing as a key defender. So, I mean, Harry Taylor and Henderson played well on Dixon last time. So I think Geelong have got a lot of positive vibrations about what happened last time.
This will be fierce. Well, looking at the matchups, it's the best game of the finals, I reckon. And I don't know about shootout. I think seven goals will win this. I reckon it'll be a
Geelong need to score. Dour. If they go in with a dour mentality, they lose.
Robbie Gray, you mentioned him last week, Scotty.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He's the man, the X factor.
I've got a thing about Geelong loss. I don't know why. I think they might do it.
I think I'm going to go with the Cats.
I'm unknown, Loss. I've got no confidence about Geelong in finals after recent history. And you say, well, that means nothing, but one of those players were part of that. And it just depends how they start. If Geelong start well, they win the game. But that's a total unknown.
Yeah, much to watch that first 10 minutes from 7:40 on Thursday night. I'm still sticking with the Cats. I've been pretty bullish on them in the last few months. And, of course, the week off is the other prize that comes with winning that game too. But I tell you what, Nick, it'll be all eyes on the Gabba on Friday night for your team against the Lions. 7:50 start. And what a record this has become.
Well, young Charlie and William will be sitting with me on the couch and a bit nervous, actually. Lynch is a massive out for Richmond. They get through, it'll be a master stroke. Would Harris Andrews, would that make them think twice, Ando, or do you just blanket Jack Riewoldt and get the job done?
Try and blanket Jack. The good thing is, Mick, at least Jack looked in really good nick against Geelong, didn't he? That was as good as he's looked all year against a really good defence. And I think, you know, you go back to 2017, you didn't have Tom Lynch on your side then. He's just Josh Caddy becomes an important player as that second mark. He marks very well for his size. And he gives you a contest in the air, which is so important for the little blokes. But I think Prestia and Bolton coming back in, they're pretty big ends in terms of around the ground. So
bit of a risk, I reckon, Prestia.
Yeah, they wouldn't be playing if he was a risk, though. He's only playing because he's right and ready to go.
Would you maybe look at sending someone to Lockie Neal? I know I love a tagger, but they've sort of gone out of vogue. But he's had, looking at these last three stats against Richmond, 51, 37, 26.
And they lost all three of those games.
Yeah.
They did.
And they've got a view that this is from within Brisbane, that sides they did not want to play in the finals were Richmond and Geelong. And it was built around the fact that those two midfields are very experienced, solid, big-bodied people, whether it be a Dangerfield or a Martin, whoever the players are. They don't have to be big. They're just strong, mature bodies. Lockie Neal is a little bloke. Lockie Neal's about, you know, about Scotty, Mick and my height, about a 5'9", 5'10", whatever. And he's not a heavy bloke, as good a footballer as he is. And I don't think they rate themselves a really, I shouldn't say that, but they didn't want to play Richmond, I know that.
Brisbane need to get the fan, like they need to, not as the grand final, but yeah, the emotion. They need to start well. If they start well and get it rolling, they could be a bit.
They did last year, Scotty.
They got a kick straight.
What they kicked last year in the first quarter, was it 3-7 or something like that?
They were all over us. Yeah.
You know, Tigers had three shots for goal and might have kicked three goals.
Yeah.
And I think they kicked 4-6 or something. Yeah, it was 4-6 from 10 shots. So, and they should have been leading by 5 goals a quarter time. Yeah. In finals, you do that. You know, normally you shoot yourself.
Don't know. Maybe Richmond. No, not Richmond. Maybe Brisbane because of Lynch.
Okay. Now, you've buried the lead. Lauren versus Scotty.
Oh,
bye, Michael. It's like just a bye. Just get it done. Bad luck St Kilda. Back to Noosa. Good season. Come again next year.
Well, we had the original derby a couple of weeks ago with Geelong and Richmond, and this is sort of internal derby 2.0, isn't it, Scotty? Are you really that confident, or is this all part of the front of trying to convince yourself?
No. Air Norton in a helmet is the best thing I've read today.
Wasn't that something?
I think the Bulldogs have been playing very well. Our midfield spread will be an issue for your wonderful team, who have done well, but you're being a bit hot and cold. I like the Dogs. I think we've found a bit of mojo and Norton work. Josh Bruce is a worry, former St Kilda player, obviously still playing like a St Kilda player. He's a concern. Your ruck, Marshall and Ryder, are very good. So if they get hold of Tim English, that's a concern. But I think our depth and spread in the midfield will get us home.
I'm with you, Scotty. I reckon Liberatore's game in the last round was that was back to how he played against West Coast in the first final in 2016. That was the best game I've seen him play since then. He was brilliant, Liberatore. And Tim English, I find the most intriguing player in the final eight sides left. Tim English this year at different times has been brilliant, and particularly going forward and tidying a target up forward, which they need, because Josh Bruce hasn't been doing enough of that, and he's been awful. He's had games where he's been obliterated. So how he goes against Ryder and Marshall is such a huge part of this game.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I'm just not sure what you're going to get. I know he's a good footballer, Tim English, but can he do it against the two-prong attack, which is as good as those two guys have been?
And, Lauren, just is it right? The winner plays the loser of Richmond-Brisbane. Other side is the winner of Collingwood-West Coast plays the loser of Geelong-Port.
Correct.
So that's more incentive for the Tigers to win, Michael, to avoid the Footscray Football Club.
That's what I was angling at.
Well, I know who Scotty is tipping, not even going to go there. I'm going with St Kilda, and not for bias factor.
What a surprise.
I just think, just not even for that. I do fear, you mentioned Libba there, the trio in the middle of Libba, Hunter, McRae, that's looking very 2016 like, and that is scary. But I don't know, Josh Bruce, I love him. You know I love him, Scotty. He hasn't fired this year. He's been away from the hub, baby watch, I believe, over the last few days. So
that could be good.
The lack of experience worried me about a week ago of St Kilda. I think there's only 7 players who have played finals. But I don't know, just talking to a few people up at Noosa this week, the whole – it gets used a lot, but that why not us sort of mentality, it's really – it has not – they're not affected. They're not nervous. They don't seem worried at all. They're just embracing it. And you know what? YOLO. I'm going for St Kilda. Ando?
Much as I'd love to see the Saints do something, I want to see St Kilda win a premiership in all our lifetimes. But I think Bulldogs are the
best. No, want to see this
Bulldogs. No, they're not going to do it this year. But
not Bulldogs this year through my television, please.
No, Max King's the key to them in years to come. But I think Bulldogs are the better side, and I think they've got the experience in finals that's so necessary. Mind you, when the Bulldogs won in 2016. They probably had a lot of players then, Scotty, that haven't played a lot of finals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can do it. That doesn't always matter. They get on a roll. But no, I think the Bulldogs probably got them covered, unfortunately. Loz,
losing out, unfortunately, for either the Saints and the Bulldogs. And the same formula for the Eagles and the Pies on Saturday night. It's the second game played. Is the first elimination final. And Mick, so much has been made about the home advantage for this one. Will it be the deciding factor?
Well, I haven't done my tips yet, but I'm thinking about tipping Collingwood because there's going to be an upset. So I'm looking to identify that one. Scotty, you always go with one upset per round theory.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
And I think that's probably the one where it could be. I know they were pretty poor last week, Collingwood, against who they play. They needed to win. Port, was it? No.
They were ordinary. They were ordinary.
They were. But their best, even though without Howe and Steele side bottom, is still pretty good with DeGoey firing. So I'm not declaring Collingwood, but I'm considering it.
What they need to do is get Brody Grundy's contract that he signed, put it in on the whiteboard and say, mate, We gave you $1 million. You've been playing like a VFL player. You're playing Nick Nat. If you can at least square that match up, we can win. That is what I'd be saying.
Good risky, risky business long-term contracts, aren't they?
Oh, no. They're just psychological. I mean, maybe the player, you know, subconsciously, but, you know, he whinged and moaned, got 7 years, and then he hasn't got a kick.
It could be hub life, though, you know. Like
no excuse, people,
well, it could be. Could be a factor.
Yeah, I don't know. West Coast worry me in that, like we talked about the injuries, Yo's not there, Shuey and all them coming back, McGovern coming back. I know the home ground advantage, so it just makes no sense tipping against them in such a big game, but I don't feel like they've really hit their straps at all this year other than a couple of games earlier. I don't know, DeGoey, I just, there's something about Collingwood. I'm with you.
$3. $3 is another.
All right, I'm in.
I'm West Coast lost with Natanui to set him alight in the middle and Flying Ryan to be on the end of it and Flying Ryan to be, if he plays three finals to be the player of October. I just absolutely love watching that bloke play football.
Yeah, it's just on that hand, though. I got a text off my mate BT, you know, on Sunday night. And shall I say here, 5 minutes to go. If anyone else wants to finish off the week on a high, and I didn't know what he meant, and I flicked over to Fox Footy, and it was the last passage of play with West Coast Collingwood in the grand final. And that is unbelievable, that passage of play, isn't it? I know from McGovern to who's the ruckman?
Yeah, Vardy.
The Vardy,
yeah, to, Nathan
to
Vardy,
your man Flying Ryan, and to, down to Sheen. That was an absolute free kick, by the way.
100% to Brady
wasn't
Maynard.
It?
Yeah,
but I picked up the paper the next day, it said West Coast were premiers.
I was sitting with a group of Collingwood supporters in a box, and we were directly behind Dom Sheed as he lined it up. And one of them said, I saw this prick 3 hours ago kicking before the match, and he kicked a couple of these. And I said, mate, this is on the boundary line. It was never, we were right behind, it was never going to miss. And the Collingwood bloke, he'd been overseas in 2010 with work, and he was in hospital in 1990. So he's never seen a Collingwood premiership live, and through it went. But there was a bit of play after that, though.
Oh, how did who's the full darling drop that mark?
It's true. Yeah. So not much is made of that, is it, when you think about it? But that would have been the biggest blooper in the history of an AFL grand final to miss
since,
that.
Who was the bloke who dropped Steve Waugh? Herschel Gibbs.
Herschel Gibbs, yeah. Yeah, he went up a bit early, Hurst, didn't he? Went up a bit early.
One piece of advice, Mick, next time you get that text about the last 5 minutes and that particular passage of play, because, of course, we've watched it so many times, and I was always focusing on Sheed, and then I watched it a few days ago, and I focused solely on the crowd. And, of course, it's like primarily Collingwood. And there's one guy in a Collingwood hat and glasses who just stands there completely stone-faced and just flips this two-fingered salute to Dom Sheed. They would have known in that exact moment, as you said, Ando, they would have watched him practicing in the hours preceding and probably know. I think Dom Sheed only watched it, I was reading the other week, recently himself, and might have snuck a peek at the crowd too. So
what sort of mind thinks that giving a two-finger salute to Dom Sheed is going to achieve anything? I mean, what are you dealing with?
It's probably more just, I would imagine it's your own release of emotion at that moment. You know, you're stuck in your seat, in a scene that seems so foreign now, shoulder to shoulder with strangers.
Oh, boy.
And there's probably...
That'll never happen
You've just got to get it out. And it was obviously just, you've just got to express yourself, don't you, Ando? Although all of us Victorians will be doing it in our lounge rooms the way that it sits at the moment. Though fingers crossed that Dan Andrews on the 19th of October might just give us a little bit of light of potentially watching the grand final with someone from another household. I'm holding out hope.
Yeah, I reckon we're well on track to be doing that. My neighbours are mad Richmond supporters and they bought one of those big screens, so like the projector screen. So they've said, oh, great, we'll put it up in the backyard and you know, maybe we'll be playing Geelong and you can come over. And he said, no, maybe not.
Maybe you can watch it from your side of the fence with the hose.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, just before we go, Scotty, the Super Score rolls on with some absolute gold each and every day in the Herald Sun and at heraldsun.com.au. Have you got a whisper to see us out?
The Dungle Drums naturally. See, with AFL, you know, we joke that it's a boys' club, but they tend to look after each other. Even when they sort of disappear, they're always in the minds. And my mail is that one former senior executive might be, who's no longer with the league, but might be ripped back out of purgatory and put into a club that's had a few issues and the AFL has a bit of a hold on. So watch this space. You might see a familiar name return. And yeah, the Loz, the other one is, I hear exit interviews, they always come up with a few little bits and pieces. Yeah, the player gets called in to talk to the coach. Well, this player went in, he knew he was going to get the flick, and he said, apparently to the coach before he even got to utter a word, said, mate, I know I'm going to get axed, but I've got a bit of advice for you. You need to lighten up or you're going to lose the players. So he gave a bit of advice back to the coach who was then sacking him, who actually then proceeded to go, you're right, you are out. But thanks for the advice. And it was a little warning from the outgoing player.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, I was very impressed with that.
I thought you were going to say, he said, well, actually, I wasn't going to do this, G, but now that you say that, you can get to that.
His papers are already marked, I think, Scotty, as you correctly said. But what's happening now in exit meetings is players are getting in far more on the front foot and thinking, yeah, okay, you're going to sack me, but I'm going to go out with a whack. And that's getting – it would be really good if someone could get a camera in there at some stage. I'm quite serious, you know, without the nasty ones. There'd be some really interesting footage in there. It'd be great. Now, clubs would never do it because they wouldn't let him embarrass the coaches or the chief executive or whoever is delivering the news. But I'd love to watch it. It'd be good value.
They've actually got those cameras going this year, as you know, Ando. The mate McGuire has got the Amazon. So the Canelio being dropped and all that'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, that has to be on camera, doesn't it?
Which I've heard.
Just wait.
I didn't know if all players involved have been all that happy with all these cameras hanging around their footy clubs this year.
It was a recipe for disaster, wasn't it?
It was a disgrace, actually.
Yeah, that's really set the tone for our exit interviews from this this podcast at the end of the season. I think, boys, we might I might pull out the dossier for each of you, and we might get the cameras in for that one in a few weeks' time. Hey, but there's so much footy to play out this weekend. We'll be parked in front of our tellies in our hubs, of course, like so many of our Victorian listeners. But enjoy the weekend of footy, boys. We'll keep you across it at heraldsun.com.au and in the paper each and every day. And we'll be back next Tuesday to unpack all of the action. We'll see you then.